Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
This is an opportunity for Caleb Williams to take another step. The one that includes him throwing the ball down the field and being on the same page with his receivers and showing off that arm talent and improving that accuracy.
Second down and six. Williams play fake. Now throws wide open. It's DJ Moore. The former Carolina Panther is in for a Bears touchdown. 34 yards. Williams to Moore. Williams, Moore, end zone. He's got it. Touchdown.
That was a beautiful ball.
And now you just feel completely differently about the Bears. I got the Bears winning the game, too.
Johnson lined up behind him. First and goal. It's Johnson, and he is in. Johnson's second touchdown today as Caleb Williams and the Bears defeat Andy Dalton and the Panthers. Dave Canales and his club dropping to 1-4. Bears now 3-2.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Happy Bears Monday.
Bears.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bears, Mr. David, what more can be said?
Morning, Mully. Yes, happy Monday in Chicago, a victory Monday. That was exactly what the Bears needed to do.
Bears.
And they did it well, convincingly. I think a lot of people that went into the game and maybe over the last couple weeks had reasons to doubt the Bears are finding reasons to believe again. It's starting to feel a little bit like preseason again. A lot of hope, a lot of hype, and a lot of things that yesterday Caleb Williams delivered, the offense rebounded, and that was a good win.
Listen, it was a great win, okay? And I don't care who you're playing. It is a great win. The NFL, tough to win games, and the Bears got one, and you should feel wonderful about it because that's all that matters. And now they're getting on a flight tonight to head to London, and you got a chance to win a getaway game on Sunday morning, and then you got the bye week. I mean, what more do you want out of life?
A getaway game in London.
I'm just saying.
Getaway.
You can stay in London if you
Why
must.
Not? You're going to have the week off, right? But you extend the holiday.
Shuttle over to Paris.
I think there's a lot of things you could do to take advantage of this opportunity traveling abroad for Bears players, coaches, or fans. I mean, a lot of fans are going, why not? This is an opportunity. From a football perspective, this is the soft part of your schedule. You better take care of business. You better take care of business because it's going to get tougher in a hurry. You are now suddenly in the toughest division in football. That will start to sound very daunting come November.
Everyone in the division's a winner.
Everyone is. And everyone looks like they're going to only get better. There's no reason to doubt any of the teams that are in there with you. With the Packers coming back and you look at the Lions taking the weekend off with a bye week. Kind of odd early bye week. But the Packers doing what they needed to do in L.A. Mully, this Bears season is shaping up if you can take care of business in London the way that most people thought it would. 4-2 at the bye is something to look forward to and something to be happy about if it happens.
Yeah, if you get a 3-game winning streak going into the bye, that is beautiful. That's what you want. That's how you get better. They should get better.
They should get better.
They'll get better health for some players. Ooh. We'll see maybe a different – well, we're seeing a different offensive line anyway, but who knows how different it may look by the bye weekend.
Same with your quarterback. He keeps getting better. That will be the story of the week, I think. But as you said coming in, this is not one of those victories where you look at and this isn't a yeah, but game.
Right.
This isn't a yeah, but.
No, they won that game.
It was the Panthers. We know these things.
So what?
You're the Bears. You need to take care of the business. You can assume nothing, and they didn't. They were prepared. I thought their offensive game plan was improved. After the first series, when you went, here we go again. Then I thought Shane Waldron called a pretty balanced game and took advantage of some of the things that were obvious to anybody watching. And Caleb Williams was efficient.
Listen,
and he protected the football intelligently. That was a good sign, too.
There was nothing bad in the game. Okay, so the Panthers stink out loud. They're not a good football team, and they've got problems in their secondary. And they had a guy expelled from the game, and they had what, four guys go down with injury, including their center and maybe their right tackle. They lost a defensive player. But who cares? If you're running a 7-on-7 drill, you want that kind of efficiency, and you saw it. I mean, at one point, and we'll talk to DJ Moore, at one point, the corner is on him, and he hands him over to the safety, who happened to be in the box at the time. So there's no one there. And where's the ball? It's in DJ Moore's hands, and that's how you score a touchdown.
Good recognition. We talked about all week. Boy, it'd be nice to see him go vertical rather than horizontal.
Yeah.
And the Bears, I think, came to the same conclusion, obviously, because he had a big game. It's about time. He goes over 100 yards, and he was targeted just enough to be dangerous. Everything was working.
Yeah,
everything worked, and you know, here's what I like. There'll be a lot of numbers we're going to look at, and there are a lot of statistics to pour through. But when you look at the box score, and you see that Caleb Williams has 29 pass attempts.
Yes.
29 pass attempts, and he's got his second 300-yard game in passing. That is what you want to see, because they ran the ball 39 times. They threw it 29. And that run-to-pass ratio is how I think you're going to establish an identity. That's how you're going to get your offensive line, you know, moving the pile and doing things that they can do and play to their strengths. And that's a good thing for Caleb Williams, because he took another step. And how big it was, we can debate all week, but it's in the right direction, and that's the main thing.
He completed 20 of the 29 attempts. He was sacked once, so 30 pass plays, and he threw two touchdowns. And here's another big one, zero interceptions. You know, I mean, you really want to talk about it. The first play of the game could have been a pick six.
Could have been.
I'm just saying.
It was almost as if he learned from that.
Oh, my God.
And he tightened it up after that, because that could have been disastrous.
Yes.
The first snap could have been a pick six. It wasn't. He was intended to Keenan Allen. It was behind him. And
it was a hell of a game. Hell of a game. I mean, you can't – there's not a lot that you can complain about. They played an NFL team, one they're better than, and they dominated a team they are better than. That's what you're supposed to do. That's their eighth consecutive home victory. That's what you're supposed to do. Protect that home field. All the fans that go out there get a great show and feel good leaving, because they win when you go.
It's remarkable when you look at the Bears having the longest winning streak at home of any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you start to, wait, can this be a misprint? You're double-checking and you're fact-checking yourself, and you're looking at it like, really? Matt Eberflus's Bears team has not lost at home since when? But it's something to be proud of. They're giving up a home game. They're going to London.
Yeah.
They don't play again at Soldier Field till November 10th.
Isn't that something?
That's really something. That's over a month.
Right.
So now they will be tested.
London game's a home game. Does that count against
them? No, I don't think so. Because I think right. I mean, it's got to, you're at home, but it's going to feel very much like a neutral site. And some difficult, unusual conditions. Both teams would be playing under the same conditions. My sense would be that the Jaguars have more players who are used to that, just because haven't they played over there more often? That's kind of like their home away from home.
Yeah, they play there every year. Shad Khan, the owner of Jacksonville, went to the U of I, for God's sake. He's one of ours. He has tons of real estate, tons of connections in London. He owns Wembley Stadium, for God's sake.
Well, they're coming in off a overtime or last second victory. They came back and beat the Colts, and Joe Flacco, who was dynamic. Oh my gosh, Joe Flacco was something else yesterday. You look at his numbers, they're crazy.
Cleveland wishes he was still there.
No doubt about that.
He wouldn't quit on
him. No, he would not quit on him. Ouch. But the Jaguars are coming in off a victory. They needed that. A lot of dissension, controversy surrounding their locker room and Doug Peterson. We'll continue to look at them as the week progresses. But right now, the Bears' only thing they have to worry about is they're coming off of a game and a victory that they look good in all aspects, and they have another team that they can beat in similar fashion.
Yeah, I think you got to like pretty much everything that happened yesterday. And it kind of, as you say, if you just look at the passer rating of the quarterback, he's getting better week in and week out. And this game was a 126.2 passer rating. I love passer rating for one reason. It is a really seriously bizarre formula. They have explained it multiple times. I do not believe that they were trying to do any. Basically, when the NFL got together in 1970 and the AFL and the NFL became one, they needed to figure out a way to compare quarterbacks over the years. And so they came up with this formula. And the people on the committee, I've talked to some of them, it was very happenstance. They were trying to get to 100. They wanted you to be able to tell if you threw for 100 rating, you're doing pretty well. What I love about it is it punishes interceptions. So as long as you hang on to the ball, as long as you don't throw the ball away, you're going to have a pretty good passer rating, even if you don't throw for a lot of yards.
It's a good teaching tool.
Yes, it is.
Because you don't want to get caught up in statistics if you're a coach or if you're a player, but it does reward caution and prudence and all the things that you have seen Caleb Williams apply to his own game.
Yep.
Yesterday after the first kind of errant throw, but he's been careful 2 weeks in a row. And what we saw yesterday was him kind of mixing in that sort of game manager tendency with also not being afraid to look down the field.
He's got a world-class arm. I mean, when he makes the touchdown pass, the second touchdown pass to DJ Moore at the end of the half, that was not only was that like, you know, oh, okay, the game's over. And that was the 20th point of the second quarter. But that pass was excellent. And DJ Moore also absolutely fantastic. Had a great game. Look forward to talking to him, congratulating him. And it was so funny. Someone tweeted out a photo. DJ, after scoring that touchdown, he went back and he sat by himself on the bench. So he's not mad.
It's something he does.
Yeah.
It's part of his routine.
Thank you.
And you're right on that catch. You know, the
great catch.
Accurate
great
throw and the strong hands, that's why it's such a dangerous combination. It's good to see DJ Moore have some numbers that kind of – I think he needed that. And that when he scored one of the touchdowns, maybe it was his first, I can't remember which it was, but he almost let out a visceral scream to the crowd, to no one in particular, but it was just like all of this 5 weeks or first month of frustration, which you know that he felt and handled it pretty well. He's not a guy who's used to talking about his body language. He's not used to talking about anything really negative. And yesterday gave him reasons to, against his former team, talk about something positive. And it did mean something to him, as he alluded to post game, because it was his former team.
Listen, there were a lot of really good things that went down. I thought that they got DeAndre Swift involved as they had the week before, and he was both in the passing game and the running game. You got a good sense of why they wanted to sign him, and he played really well. And Roschon Johnson with the heavy package on the goal line on fourth down, you got to like that the Bears are doing something and have developed their own version of the Philadelphia, tush push. They've
I like that. You know, it's their thing.
It's their
thing. What do we clamor for the first couple of weeks in identity?
Identity.
You know, now they have a red zone short yardage package. You see Doug Kramer coming in, and you wonder, motion or not motion? Where's he lining up? Backfield or on the slot? Or is he just going to be an unbalanced line? I like the fact now he can avoid the penalty. The clip wasn't good.
No, but that was weird.
It was a little bit unusual.
That was the first clips in how long? It was a weirdest thing
I haven't heard
ever.
Clipping called in so long.
I know. It's crazy.
I look forward to talking to Olin to get that explanation.
The last time I heard clipping was when Flusie went to the barber in Hard Knocks. The barber up there.
Right.
Listen, that was great.
So Doug Kramer coming in, and I was just wondering if they had when they were comfortably ahead, if they were going to call a pass to him. You know they have to have one.
When
he goes in motion, he reported in, 68 eligible, and the next phase of the mini fridge is to expand.
Don't want to see that.
Well, I think you.
I know. I wouldn't be surprised. It's coming. I got it.
If it's a 10 or more point lead, I think you're going to see the play action fake, the toss to the mini fridge, and remember, you heard it here first.
Can I tell you that you heard it here on Friday that they would get up enough so that they could have the backup quarterback in? And Kieran Amagachi also got into
did
the game.
Did he really?
Yes,
I'm so glad for you that he did. Tyson Bagent took three knees. All he did was kill his yardage total.
Amagachi was blocking for it.
Three carries, negative 4 yards. That just killed their rushing statistics.
But it
was fun when you can do that. And I think that the short yardage red zone performance and production was better. And you're right. You get to the sense where you know they're bringing in the heavy tight end package. Here comes Doug Kramer. They got one play out of that. They're going to hand it to Roschon Johnson.
Yeah. They
go downhill and get in a fight. Hey, Roschon Johnson has now gotten punched twice this year.
That's so bizarre. I thought the same thing. I thought he was on the sideline standing there. He is clocked, and then he scores. And why is he getting hit?
Why is he getting hit? Has he got a punchable face?
What was that about?
I love
who was doing the announcing. I think it was Vilma. And he's like, hey, you could have hit on the play before. You hit him before that. Like, it was insane.
It was very much a product of frustration.
Wow.
J.C. Horn's
lost his mind.
He's had enough. I mean,
you know what, though?
Caleb Williams went after him. I think that they weren't afraid of him. He's a very good cornerback.
Yeah, they
but
right
he
at
had
him.
No business making a little bit of fisticuffs after the play.
Was he the guy that hit Caleb Williams, like, down by the goal line, out of bounds?
No, I don't think so.
Because somebody hit him,
yeah.
And I thought, when I watched that fight, I thought, is that going back to the non-call? They should have called.
They should have called
roughing
that.
Or whatever. They should have called a personal
Wasn't that
foul.
Scott? I think it was Scott that
was
collided
that
with him, and he backed off.
Okay.
But he should have been called. That was a penalty.
That was
no doubt about that.
Absolute garbage.
Maybe that
but
created a little bad
that,
blood.
That's what I thought. Maybe there were words exchanged.
Because
maybe
Matt Pryor came over.
Oh, yeah.
He'd had enough.
He's a big man.
He's a large human being.
Yeah, yeah.
And he took a little bit of a swipe.
And he got chumped and he got knocked out.
Then he got cheap-shotted from behind.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was the cheapest shot.
I know. And he got a 15-yard penalty, but it was offsetting. And he did not get thrown out of the game. The guy hit him.
Yeah, because
we'll see what the NFL does.
They'll have to pay. He'll have to pay a fine. Both teams are a little bit, miffed at that point. Didn't know what was happening quite, but
that was insane.
It's good to have a little skirmish. Skirmish.
Nothing wrong with a skirmish.
The two teams don't like each other.
Show
if I were
fight.
The Panthers, I'd be ticked off coming to Chicago again, second year in a row. And also, Ryan Poles, this was, of all the things, big picture, like he had to be sitting there just laughing at what was happening because he didn't get the job in Carolina, comes back to Chicago, then he fleeces the Panthers. The guy who he dealt with gets fired. Now he's got all these assets, and he spent the week talking about what a great trade it was and spent Sunday looking at what a great trade resulted in.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
hey, you saw Bryce Young. Did you see him?
Yes, I did. I thought he looked like a high school kid.
He's kind of a little fella. I didn't know if you saw him.
Is this halftime? Or are they letting
I thought maybe the big guys were standing around him.
He is small.
Disappears in the huddle.
He's so small.
He's a very little man.
And yet he did, against the Bears' second team, move the ball.
They brought in the second team for him. It was perfect.
Andy Dalton looked like he was 36. He looked like and that red hair is going to be gray very soon.
Oh, boy. He took some shots.
It's really something.
You know, the Bears hit him, man. I mean, the quarterback hits was ridiculous. What, they have 10 hits on the quarterback, and I believe they had 10 hits on the quarterback and 3 sacks when he left. So that's, I don't know. I mean, they sacked Young once, didn't they? I don't remember, but
yeah,
I think they had 4 sacks, but 3 on Andy, and they hit him 10 times. That's mean.
Well,
he's an old man.
He looked old. He looked much older
against
the Bears than he had in the previous weeks. So I think that has something to do with the defense that recovered. The defense bounced back. Chuba Hubbard did what we expected him to do early on. 38-yard touchdown run.
It was weird that they scored, right?
They gashed the Bears' run defense, and then the Bears overall did what they typically do. They came at Andy Dalton with different blitzes. They sacked him. They created takeaways. Jaquan Brisker brought the lumber. Boy, that was a hit.
Yeah. Kudos to Kevin Byard for the interception. That was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like a punt. It was up there so long.
I know.
Then he went up and got it, and he played the ball better than the receiver played the ball. And that's one of those situations you see why Kevin Byard has as many interceptions as any defensive back in football, I think, over the last 5 years.
10 quarterback hits for the Bears, 3 tackles for loss. They sacked their quarterbacks 4 times. The great man himself, Jervon Dexter, added to his total on the day after his birthday.
You love the fact that it's his birthday.
He's 23.
Did you meet him at his drinks or something?
You know what?
Yeah, I think you mentioned his birthday like 4 times.
I cannot believe that he's that young. I just want you to remember that this is just a developing player. You expect so much from
him. He's having a pretty good year.
He's got 4 sacks in 5 games.
I think he's got as many sacks from an interior lineman as anybody in the NFL.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That is very good progress.
You know what the lesson of that is?
What?
Redo your body in the offseason.
It is, actually.
I'm going to redo my body in the offseason.
That's good.
Hey, you look like you redid your body. Watch this.
He came back, and we said the same thing when you saw him. First of all,
how old is that guy?
I can't wait for his birthday. He will have arrived by October 6th.
Well, why can't we celebrate a young man's birthday?
He was in the best shape of his life.
I know.
And he wasn't just saying that.
And he's better than he had been because he's in the best shape of his life.
He's needed to be. You know, Montez Sweat was, I don't want to say neutralized, but they took care of him. He was very quiet.
Yeah, he had a good matchup. Yeah, that was tough.
Moton was a good right tackle, a good matchup for Montez Sweat. But Dexter keeps getting better against certainly pass rushing. You'd like to see him a little more stout against the run at times. But he can't complain about his production. I wondered how long of a day it might be, though, when Chuba Hubbard went through that hole.
Oh,
and Tremaine Edmonds looked like he was not very much interested in stopping the run today.
Yeah, no, that was worrisome. They took the lead immediately, and Chuba was, I mean, that was, did he get touched? Seemed like, you know, if you had to describe the Bears' defense on that play, I think you would use the word blocked.
Blocked. Yes.
It just felt like
absent.
That guy was untouched.
They were definitely bystander more than participant.
Yeah, but that was it. That was it. Turned it around.
That was big play.
From that point on, it was just all Bears.
Yep, 20 points in the second quarter, a great outburst.
Yes.
Shane Waldron has to feel good about it. The Bears win. They keep pace with a very good division. The Packers did what they needed to do, as we mentioned, and things just get tougher from here. Big day, big week in the NFL. Crazy day in college football on Saturday.
Oh, my God. What was that?
Oh, I that was...
Hey, kudos to Joe Fortenbaugh. He called the Alabama game, right? I mean, he didn't call the victory, but he said that Vanderbilt was going to surprise people and have a big game.
Vandy beating Alabama, one of the biggest upsets of the year in college football. You look at it, what's going on in college football, we'll talk about it. It could be just a sign of the times. It's harder to predict now with teams reloading every year, college free agency changing the balance of power with conferences.
It's unbelievable.
Just hard to figure who's doing what.
Six of 11? 5 of 11? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The top 11 teams in the country, 5 of them went down.
And then the Major League playoffs, they never disappoint.
Padres and the Dodgers don't like each other.
They don't.
These two kids don't like each other.
I don't. That last night was... quite
awesome.
A statement by the Padres, Padres.
My Padres.
After Dylan Cease gave up a big homer to Shohei on Saturday.
Yeah.
That was a big hit in that game.
That was.
But yeah, a lot going on. Nick Castellanos walked it off for the Phillies.
Oh, that was
it's hard to watch
cool.
sometimes for all these former Cubs doing things.
Yeah, or Sox.
Both.
Yeah.
I mean, or, a lot of ex-Chicago flavor.
Should have been White Sox like Manny Machado doing stuff.
I know, right?
I'm just saying.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Oh, that, don't even bring his name up.
A lot of connections.
Whatever you do, don't mention Tatis.
I just did.
Okay. We'll let that one go. No, I'm joking. All right. Listen, it's a glorious, wonderful Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Banks. Thanks to everyone for the glorious victory Monday. We've got the pick 6 next. Mully and Haw on the score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How thorough was the Bears' 36-10 destruction of the Carolina Panthers yesterday over at Soldier Field? Can you believe the Panthers ever even led? Was all forgiven by the time the Bears finished a 30-point comeback? Did they play the best half of football in memory?
Yes. I got to tell you, it was a very positive game. At the beginning of the game, you were like, oh, boy. You know, they can't stop the run. Oh, these worries about the defense are legit. And then they made the run obsolete. They made poor Chuba obsolete because they had to try to get the Red Rifle involved because the Bears were off to the races. And I think the 30-point comeback was fantastic. I think it's the best half of football I've seen him play in many a day. And I think that the quarterback looks like a guy that is on his way, that is on the come. I understand everyone's looking at Jaden Daniels and, oh, my God, look what he did this week. I don't care. I think Caleb Williams is a good player, has a good arm, is totally devoted to his craft, and is going to be a really good player for many years to come. So I feel good about what's going on with the Bears, and I don't worry about other teams. It's kind of fun to see a young quarterback coming into his own, and he has been improving on a weekly basis, regardless of who they're playing.
That's exactly what it is. It's you're watching Caleb grow. The other thing that I loved about, and we're going to keep talking about Caleb, of course, yep, all throughout the show in this segment, is sneaky runs he had yesterday. I've been saying, take what they're giving you, and he took what they gave him, I think, in a couple of crucial situations where they were facing third and five, third and four, third and six, and he tiptoed and ran and escaped four first downs and didn't take big hits when he did that. He took a couple, but not all the time. So, you know, the defense taking the ball away. I love Andrew Billings, right? The sack dance of Andrew Billings. How, I mean, super, it was just a fun, I can't remember enjoying a first half as much as I enjoyed that first half. It almost made the second half boring.
Part of it was the touchdown to DJ Moore at the end, where you're just like, oh, wow. Like, right. It wasn't like they were pouring it on, but it was like they could do that.
At any moment, right, at any moment. It was a fun afternoon and good for the Bears.
Well, they could do that because they have a quarterback they trust now to get it done. And so when you get the ball back and you have all your timeouts and you don't have that much time to play with, you want to go for the points because you know he can deliver. And that's a big difference in this season. So, yeah, there really are no negatives from yesterday, but you all want to keep it in perspective as well because This was a Panther defense that is their version of the worst ever in franchise history. In five games, they've never had a defense give up as many points as this defense has at this point of the season. This is the NFL White Sox, essentially, that the Bears beat yesterday. They're bad. They're getting worse. But you're the Bears. You don't take anything for granted. You don't look for negatives. The glass is going to be half full because you took care of business at the way that you needed to. You found balance in your offensive approach. You're creating identity in the red zone. You got a quarterback that can make plays, and his arm talent is becoming more obvious by the week. If you needed evidence, I think a lot of us already saw it, but he's starting to deliver on that hope and promise. And you got a defense that is on brand. Another game, fewer than 21 points. Another game with sacks and takeaways being the defining characteristic of this defense. And you did exactly what you needed to do. So how thorough was the Bears' destruction? It was a thorough destruction, as thorough really as you could have been. 36-10, that's a blowout. This is like the preseason non-conference part of the college football schedule. This was directional school coming in disguised as the Carolina Panthers, and the Bears took care of business.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, 9 o'clock, Biggs time on Mondays with Mully and Haw. What did you like most about Caleb Williams' performance that included his second 300-yard passing game already this season? What will be the point of emphasis this week as the Bears head to London?
point of emphasis is going to be the same: ball protection and take your shots down the field when they exist. The thing that I liked the most about his performance was probably the subtlety that on that touchdown to DJ Moore, where he moved the safety or froze the safety with his eyes. He looked one way, and then DJ Moore had one-on-one coverage with Mike Jackson, got inside leverage, and he put the ball exactly where he needed to because he did not have safety help because of the way that he shifted his eyes. And he's getting better at every aspect of being quarterback in the NFL. Caleb Williams, in five games, has two 300-yard passing games. Because it's an obvious comparison, you can't help but remember that Justin Fields had one in 3 years. So this is an automatic, easy-to-see upgrade at the position. And the Bears have a chance to score on every series, as we saw when they got the ball back late in the first half. They didn't want to sit on it. They didn't want to play it safe. They went for the points, and they delivered. And he got it because he is making progress each and every week, whether it's in the pocket or Dustin, you're exactly right. Running the football, he's a better athlete than people give him credit for. And this is a quarterback coming into his own.
I mean, it was just 34 yards of rushing, but all of them were big. I mean, a couple of first down runs. Also, he hits six different receivers for multiple catches, right? Not just one catch. Six different guys had multiple catches in that game, including, of course, DJ Moore, five catches, 105 yards, two touchdowns, long 34. It was great. He spread the ball around. But, David, you started your answer with it, and it is the most important thing to keep in mind and do each and every week, and that is to cherish that football. Keep the ball. Do not give the ball away. And when you don't give the ball away, you really give yourself a 50-50 shot, I think, at winning the game. When you don't give the ball away at all, I think you've got at least a 50-50 shot at winning the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. When you win the turnover battle 3-0, that's a blowout. You're going to win big, and the defense is capable of getting the ball for the Bears. And, I thought they had a really dominant performance after the early touchdown, so that was great. But in terms of this question, I thought what I liked most about Caleb Williams' performance, the first touchdown to DJ Moore was excellent, and you mentioned how he froze the defense and all that stuff, and the safety came up, and the guy's trying to hand the safety. He's trying to hand the corner's is playing like zone, and everyone else is playing man. I mean, that's, you got to see it, you got to take advantage of it. But that touchdown, the second one, what a throw and what a catch! Ball plays perfectly. And you know DJ Moore is going to catch it. He's got great hands, and he had a huge game. So I think that the takeaway, the when you talk about what you want to emphasize going into the game in London, it is more of the same. They have a formula now that is winning, and they are getting a little bit better, and they won a lot easier in this game than they have all year. And they played a bad opponent, let's be honest about it. But you got a one-win team waiting for you. They just got their first win of the season. You get to go over there and just follow your blueprint. You now have more of an identity. You're going to try to run the ball and throw the ball. You're going to use the fullback and the short yardage stuff. That's part of the identity. I mean the center slash fullback. I love the mini fridge. I love the stuff that they're doing with that, and I think that it has helped them define who they are as a football team. And that's, if you have an identity and you know how to go about winning, and they do, just do it again. Do it in London. Do it to the Jaguars.
Now I forget the question.
That's the voice of Olin Krutz. He's here at 7 a.m. What did you make of the defensive tackle, Jervon Dexter, the birthday boy, 23 years old yesterday, Saturday, with four quarterback hits, a sack, a fumble recovery. Dexter had twice as many quarterback hits as the entire Panther defense had.
I love that he's just 23 and he's getting better already, and he's working at his game, and he spent the offseason working on it, and guess what? It's paying off. He's got four sacks in five games. He could have had two fumble recoveries yesterday. There was another ball out. I think I forget who got it, but I think it was Kyler Gordon got it. but he was on that one quickly too. So it could have been too. Listen, he had a really good game. I know that Mr. David frowns on birthday celebrations, but I did call my son the other day to wish him a happy half birthday. We apparently celebrate half birthdays in my house. Yeah, it's true. And that's that you know, I like a good birthday party. I like a surprise party. I'm in.
I think it's great. And Molly, I think you're dead on making the point that he's 23. He's a young guy, and that's important. He health, of course, but he could have 5 or 6 really good more years ahead of him if he can stay healthy. And this is what they drafted. This is what they were hoping for. And in the beginning, you kind of thought, right? Like, maybe this wasn't the greatest pick. Well, he is delivering, and he's talking about his body being right. He feels a lot better. He's probably
he's a big man.
Younger guy, right? I'll just use myself as an example. You know, ate a lot of garbage in my youth, right? And you know, garbage in, garbage out. So maybe he's taking care of himself a little bit better.
What's his birthday? You let him have some cake, right?
I mean, have cake.
We're going to make a big deal about his birthday. Let's talk about the cake he might have ingested.
Just don't have cake every day.
I don't know that we're making a big deal out of his birthday. He got it. He got the point. The guy is working to get better at 23 years old. He was 22 when he redid his body. I love it. I love the storyline.
It's a good story.
Because it implies that he's going to continue to do it. Now you stay healthy. You stay in top shape. That's how you stay.
Trevor Lawrence was his birthday was yesterday.
Oh, he was screaming his head off.
He was really mad.
Did he damage a laptop?
I don't know, but he had a happy birthday in the end. He had a nice little victory for the Jaguars. Jerron Dexter needed to take a step forward this year. He was the most important player on the defensive line in terms of the guy you needed to see growth from, and he has so far delivered. Whatever is motivating him, whatever got him to the point where he decided to take the offseason and devote it to reshaping his body, I hope that he does it again. I hope he finds that motivation somewhere and continues to be the player that the Bears need him to be. He would be a find in the draft. He's a guy that they needed to emerge in this defense. He has got a lot of great pass rushing statistics, and I think that eventually he'll be better against the run. That's where the only thing you think about Jerron Dexter. But overall, yes, he is as improved as any player on that defense because they needed him to be, and he has.
That's a good question.
All right. Do you consider yesterday the DJ Moore revenge game after seeing him catch 5 balls, 105 yards, and a pair of touchdowns? Which of the two TDs was your favorite and why?
I think he said we could call it whatever we wanted to. He referred to revenge. He referred to it as a couple of different things. I'm just glad we're not talking about why he's so frustrated and how he's averaging 5.6 yards per catch or whatever it was.
He's no longer Otani's dog.
He's no longer a decoy. Yes, he's no longer a decoy. I got it. That's a good one. Good one, Molly. But he looked happy. He had his kids with him post-game. He's wearing a Sox hat. He's doing all the things. He can wear whatever he wants when you have a game like that. My favorite one was the one we have described because I like the way that if Caleb Williams would not have seen that he was beating Mike Jackson like the way that he was beating Mike Jackson, and he had not have taken advantage of Caleb Williams moving the safety with his eyes, then we would have been having a different kind of conversation because it sounds like they would have had words on the sideline. I like the fact that now we're watching all of this communication and connection, and finally they did yesterday, so maybe that will be a moot point or kind of overlooked. But DJ Moore is the Bears' best offensive player, and yesterday you were reminded why.
We talk about it in sports all the time. When you have an opponent that's not doing very well, it's really important to put your foot on the throat of the opponent, right? They could have easily just run the ball a little bit, been safe, dinked and dunked, and not scored there, or maybe set up for a field goal. I just love the fact that they just went for it at that point. There wasn't a ton of time on the clock, so I'm speaking, of course, of the second score that puts you up 27-7. Unfortunately, that was kind of the one blemish of the game, was the missed extra point by Mr. Santos. But that was the better of the two touchdowns, was the second one for sure.
So your guy, J.C. Horn, said that that there's friction in the locker room because they traded DJ Moore. He said guys felt some type of way that he was gone because he was a main guy in this franchise. Anytime you lose a guy like that or Brian Burns or Dante Jackson, it's just part of the business. But guys were definitely conflicted about it just because he was a big face in the locker room. So maybe that's why he was so miffed in the game, because it was the DJ Moore revenge game. He did remind the Carolina Panthers of how good he is and what they gave up on, you know, five catches, 105 yards, a pair of TDs. My favorite was the second one at the end of the quarter, the way it came and the fact that it was just such a wow moment where he's down the field. He said that he knew he had kind of gotten position on the corner and his body was between the ball and the corner as it came, and he just had to catch it. The guy's got great hands. He seemed delighted with that one, too. Listen, the first one was a really good touchdown, but that was also a broken play. So the second one was, I mean, they blew a play. He was wide open. Second one was execution.
Another pick six.
That was from the early game yesterday. Thanks to the NFL Network for that one. What stood out about the MLB playoff weekend that once again reminded all of us how much we miss baseball in October here in town? Did you find yourself making time to watch it or just watching football and checking scores?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't know what the hell's going on with baseball. And I know I'm going to be accused of being like an old man yelling at clouds. Where are the games, man? What channel are they on? You don't even know where they are. I watched a game on True TV. TRU. True TV. I don't know that I've ever watched anything on True
TV.
Yes,
you have. You have. You have. The NCAA tournament.
Okay, the NCAA tournament. I just
watched Loyola on True TV.
Okay. I was just forward. I'm just looking down. I'm like, where the hell is baseball? And I found it's not even on the guide, by the way. It's not on the guide on the TV. I just happened to say there was some. I just checked TBS and there's a game on. I got to tell you, they got to do a better job of. I don't want to play scavenger hunt. I don't want to play Where's Waldo. I want to know where the games are, and they're not. You know, they're on ESPN, Channel 7, right? ABC. They're on True. They're on TBS. They're on TNT. I just
Fox,
need
a, FS1.
Fox, yeah. FS1, FS2.
Max.
Come on now.
I Max, Friday night, I believe it was Friday night, the Royals-Yankees, game one of Royals-Yankees was on Max. Max. It said on my app that it was on TBS. It wasn't on TBS. It was another rerun of Friends.
See, this is what I'm saying.
Can the announcers cuss on Max?
I suppose they
alternate
could.
Alternate broadcast.
What a stupid play. You stupid river.
Well, I did notice, of course, that Kyle Schwarber. Schwarber led off a game with a home run.
Yes.
Then I noticed that Nick Castellanos walked off a game.
Yes.
Right, ripping a single with two outs. I noticed, and I didn't like the guy, and I know you're going to bring this up, David, so I'm going to get in front of you on this one. You Darvish shutting down the Dodgers. Shutting down Shohei Ohtani.
You were calling him Flu Darvish in Chicago.
Right. So I did notice all the former, and then I mentioned it in the update. Who's pitching tonight for the Yankees? Oh, Carlos Rodon.
This is remember killing
him?
Me.
You know, Dylan Cease. Remember him?
Yeah.
He actually gave up a couple.
He
Chris Sale. Oh, he's not pitching.
He gave up the hit to Ohtani.
He gave
did you see that bat flip? Did you see that bat flip?
Oh, Ohtani has
it
arrived.
A flip. It was like a whip.
Ohtani has entered the chat.
That guy's a little too cocky.
He's a little too cocky
I'm
for
joking.
You? Did you see that bat flip?
He
that was something that would make Tim Anderson proud.
He changed the dog's name from decoy to cocky.
Yeah.
Woof, woof.
Well, this is hard to watch if you're a Chicago baseball fan. I really understand why you might want to look away. And, Mully, you might be the lucky one. Can't find the games. Like, oh, gosh. You're spared watching these guys that you saw get away. And I know that it's a long time ago since Kyle Schwarber was dismissed and non-tendered in Chicago. And I know it was a long time ago that Yu Darvish was dumped in a salary dump. and unloaded for lottery tickets from San Diego. And I know that Nick Castellanos was only here for a cup of coffee and Carlos Rodon had reasons to leave. All the things that make sense and all the things that we covered. But boy, if you are a Chicago baseball fan, these are tortured playoffs. This is a tortured postseason. If you're a Sox fan, you're seeing three teams in your division play for a right to win a World Series still. And if you're a Cub fan, every time you see Kyle Schwarber hit a long ball, like, why isn't he doing that here? There are only three players in Major League Baseball history that have hit more postseason home runs than Kyle Schwarber. Mr. October, indeed. And the Cubs dumped him for nothing. Goodness sakes. Sick of the playoffs. I can't get enough.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
On a crazy Saturday of college football, what was the biggest surprise, or was it even crazier on Sunday when the AP poll comes out and Notre Dame, who didn't even play on Saturday, jumped to number 11?
How did that happen?
Everyone
is this like secret ballot of Vatican City? How did that happen? Is Notre Dame the 11th best team in America? Dustin, help me out here.
Notre Dame is, then it's a really bad brand of college football. And that's my favorite team I'm talking
about. But see, okay, so this gets a broader conversation. I know we won't spend much time on it today because it's a Bears Monday, and it's great. But what we're seeing happen in college football, Vanderbilt beating Alabama. Oh, my gosh, was that a game. And
Vanderbilt 0-60 against top five AP teams.
All the history that's being made this year in college football, I think you're going to see more of it. Tennessee and Arkansas, that was another upset. You see the games being closer. I think you see a disparity with two things are true. I'm trying to make this fast. When you see teams that are basically invited to be sacrificial lambs are getting money to go down to a big venue, mid-major team, that's expected. But what's happening more so because of the transfer portal, because of NIL, is that there's more parity. There's going to be more parity in college football. These guys are going to be harder to coach, to get into your system. They're going to be playing a lot of times for themselves. And it's harder to get a good team, be consistently a good team. You see upsets. So what's going on in college football is strange. On the field, I don't understand the voting process. I'm glad I don't have an AP vote anymore, so I don't have to defend it. But Notre Dame jumping without playing, wow.
It was wow, but if you look at the rankings, I can't make a real argument for the teams beneath Notre Dame to be ahead of them. And one of the teams that's right kind of behind them is Texas A&M, who all of a sudden has won all. So again, you can't put Texas A&M ahead of Notre Dame. But I thought I was going to have a little extra time on my hands this Saturday, and I was like, ugh, this schedule, this is terrible. There's no good head-to-head games. Boring. And then this happened. Far from boring. And we've got two weekends coming up. This weekend, number two Ohio State against Oregon. Okay, a great matchup. Number one Texas taking on Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry. Another great. And then next week, not this Saturday, next Saturday, is Alabama-Tennessee, which everybody was all hyped for. And then the two teams go out and lose ahead of that matchup. Crazy.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that we are almost an hour into the show and no one has mentioned the Bulldog special, where I actually gave Joe a game and I mentioned Army. And guess what? They scored a touchdown to like start the game and they blew it. They won by 42 points. So, I mean, how if the Bulldog's going to give Mully a game, he's going to share it with the public. Can't we get acknowledgement of that, for the love of God?
What, the Army and Navy are both 5-0 for the time since like 1940-something.
And what happened? They play at the end of the year. What happens if they both win out? I think, doesn't Army
this
play
is crazy.
Notre Dame?
Indiana was the first team to become bowl eligible at 6-0 after beating Northwestern.
Ooh, there's a story there, too.
IU
at Northwestern, and like
yes.
Very red, no purple.
Yeah, it
like,
was very red.
I mean, come on, folks.
It was very red. A lot of Indiana University
grads in Chicago.
What happened
to Go Cats?
What happened to the Cats in the game, too?
Beautiful weather. I mean,
it was gorgeous.
Saturday was unbelievable.
Absolutely postcard beautiful. Weather in Evanston. Yeah. The Hoosiers did what they did. They just took care of business. That guy's a good coach.
Yep. No
Frank
question
Cignetti.
About it. Yeah. And, Michigan, I watched some of that Michigan game. That's a really hard thing to do, to cross the country and play a team in Washington. You know, to fly to Seattle and play Washington in that building with all those people there and everything. It was super cool. Looked fantastic right on the water there.
It's a great stadium.
Yeah, it's really
great college football
venue. It's really great. And it was a huge win for them. But, you know, how does Michigan stay in the top 25? They're down at the bottom. But, I mean, they got two losses, right? Doesn't seem to matter.
Doesn't matter. It's a very strange year in college football, but it's fun to watch, and the Alabama game was definitely provided some drama.
Thank you, Joe, for giving us that game. That was a great one to have.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
Do you like the way the Bears are handling their trip to London by leaving tonight, getting a day off on Tuesday, and then planning their normal preparation beginning Wednesday? Are you taking jet lag out of the mix from your perspective?
I think it's really hard to know how teams are going to react to the flight and the travel and the conditions. It's not a home field advantage for anyone, even though it's a home game for the Bears. So you just try to normalize the week and the preparation as much as possible. So I do like what we heard Matt Eberflus address post-game about their plans. I thought it also was a very cool little flex by Flusy. But when I went to Italy this summer,
name dropper.
He's like, well, when I went on my European vacation and got my cool haircut and I sipped my espresso. No, he didn't say that. But he did drop the knowledge that he was familiar with what the travel demands are and how your body clock is affected when you fly overnight and you have to set your clock ahead, body clock ahead, 6 hours when you're going to London. It can be a chore. So I like the fact that the Bears are treating this the way they're treating this. They're giving players a day off the way he described it. Then they're getting to work. I'm not sure why other teams, why all teams don't do it this way. The thing of it is that you think of why wouldn't they? Well, injured players who are kind of questionable, they're going. So they're taking more people probably than they would if they wait till Friday or Thursday to go, because Tevin Jenkins, for instance, do we know what his status is? Did they miss him? I think they're better with him. He's a guy that probably won't know until later in the week if he's going to play. He's going to be on that plane tonight. If he were, you know, if it were different circumstances or itinerary, maybe he wouldn't be. So this is good also for the families. Let's face it, it's a trip for guys who want to take their families along. They had plenty of time and ample time to plan for this. I think they're doing this the right way. We'll find out. The only way that it works is if they win.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Another reason to listen to the DJ Moore conversation at 8 o'clock. Is DJ bringing his family? This is the wife and kids. Are they going? Is this a business trip? Or are they letting the Bears kind of unwind a little bit and then they've got the bye after this game? But I think it's smart to leave tonight. Who was it? There was a big to-do. Somebody left like on Thursday night, right? They practiced on Thursday. They went through their normal routine and then left after their practice on Thursday. And I think they had a disastrous outcome by going, you know, just really quick. I think it might have been the Jets or the Giants. I don't remember, but it was somebody like that where the flight was a little bit shorter and they tried to pull that off. So this sounds like the right thing to do. And again, I don't think you're going to say, well, boy, if the Bears had left on Thursday instead of on Monday, things would have been different on Sunday. Let's just hope that things go well and this, you know, the travel isn't what we're talking about a week from today.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case. I think they're doing it the right way. You know, I've been to London quite often, and I've gone for weekends a lot when I was a younger man. I think it's an easy enough trip. I think you just have to get there and start your day, stay up as long as you can, and then go to bed. And then get up the next day and start again. I like that they're leaving on a Monday. They'll get there Tuesday. It's an off day. You can do what you want, and you're ready to go, and you're ready to do your normal routine Wednesday, Thursday, Friday into the game on Sunday morning. So I think it'll work out. I think it's going to be okay. I don't think the jet lag will be the deciding factor in the game. Although I do believe that Jacksonville, having done this as many times, they do it annually, they're in better shape for this than the Bears are because they're more used to it. But the Bears will be fine. I think it's You know, it's not like the Rams come in here where you're close to your body. I think everybody's kind of half exhausted and you're a little out of it and you're playing at 8:30 in the morning there. So you just want to, you almost want to stay on your routine if that's humanly possible.
You think the Rams coming to Chicago was a bigger challenge?
I think it was a harder challenge for the Rams to come to Chicago because they came in the day before, the night before, whatever, on like Saturday. And then they play on Sunday, and their body clock isn't adjusted at all. I think the fact that you're going over to England and adjusting your body clock will help you.
Jacksonville, are they staying for another game, back-to-back, perhaps?
I don't think so. Are they?
I'm not quite sure. I know they're playing. Yesterday's watching the Jets and the Vikings play over there.
Yeah.
Reminded you just how
Aaron Rodgers was jet lagged.
Yeah, he looked jet lagged. He looked 40 years old. There wasn't really a home team. There was just a lot of American football fans wearing various jerseys, and
it's weird, man. I've been to games. You've been to games over there. That's what happens. Everybody that has a jersey. It's like when we had the soccer players in, and they're in Lincoln Park. Everybody who showed up had a different jersey on because you're just celebrating.
You're celebrating the game more than your team.
Yes.
And it's like the event is a football festival more than it is anything to do with your go team go. But I that's one of those things where, yes, the Jaguars play the Bears at Tottenham, obviously, on Sunday.
Yes.
And then they stay to play the Patriots at Wembley on the 20th.
Wow, that's awesome. They'll be in great shape for that Patriots game. They will.
they will. It seems like, imagine covering that team to be over there as long as they will be. That's going to be a heck of a thing coming back. And they don't give them a bye week when they come back. If they come back, not that we're going to be immersed in Jacksonville Jaguar football here, but they play the Bears and the Patriots back-to-back in London. Then they come home for a home game against the Green Bay Packers on the 27th of October. That's quite a stretch. And then the next Sunday, they go to Philadelphia. That's quite a month. The Jaguars could be... This is a tough stretch for them because of just the logistics of their schedule.
It's if they were worth a darn,
you'd care.
It would be a problem.
Well, they could soon be 1-7.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Yeah, that's a good plan, Mr. Dustino. All right. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. How you feeling about your Bears? How you feeling about your quarterback? 312-644-6767. Mullion on the score.
As Caleb Williams and the Bears defeat Andy Dalton and the Panthers, Dave Canales and his club dropping to 1-4. Bears now 3-2.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Got a lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Andy. Andy's on the road. Hey, Andy.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Yeah, always nice to talk about a victory. The Red Rifle turned out to be shooting BBs, I guess. But Caleb, man, fantastic. You take a look and you see every game he's improved with his quarterback rating, which is great. Something else, the Chicago Bears now have the longest home active winning streak in the National Football League at 8, which is great, too. So, to me, the thing that's going to be the next step for this team to move forward is to win on the road. And you guys mentioned going to London. I seem to recall the last time the Bears went there, they did go a little bit later, and they wound up losing to the Raiders. I think a lot of that had to do with a bad penalty on a punt. I think it was like some kind of issue with a personal foul or something like that. But to me, so now you're going to London. You've got the Jaguars. I'm glad they won, by the way, because at least they're not winless, so they're not as desperate as they might have been otherwise.
Right.
Then you got the bye. Then you go to Washington. Obviously, the Commanders are a lot better than anybody thought they were going to be. Then you got to go to Arizona, and the Cardinals just beat the Niners. So none of these games, I don't think, are going to be particularly easy. But if they can show that they can play the same way on the road, I think we've got something, guys.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate the phone call. Slow down. That's how you get in trouble in the NFL. Start to look at
Listen,
down the road.
You got a getaway day.
you got an opportunity here.
Did you win, and then you get to the bye, and you know what
don't
you do
worry about Washington. Don't worry about Jaden Daniels.
You go to work on yourself.
Yeah, you self scout.
You self scout. You figure get out. Better, you improve. Bad trends,
you get healthy. Don't worry about the Arizona Cardinals. Don't worry about the Vikings.
Get
and the
some guys
Packers.
Off injured reserve back.
The one thing you said about Caleb Williams is a good point, and I think a couple things need to be emphasized. Shane Waldron came into this game. We focused a lot on the first 15 and the script, the offensive game plan, and how he would he be flexible. And then it was three and out. I'm like, okay, maybe you need to junk that script.
No, that's not the way, what they're doing with that script.
Hold on. I'm not done. Okay. So what happened with Shane Waldron and the offense is that after a three and out, I think that they got better when they – and they are better when they go up-tempo. And they give Caleb Williams a lot of responsibility because he can handle it. And I think you see that at the line of scrimmage, and you see that when he's better up-tempo. And so whether it was scripted or an adjustment to what the Panthers weren't doing defensively, going up-tempo and playing with pace is what this team does well and how it might be able to unlock what's wrong early.
Let's try Jeff. Jeff is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, David, the biggest college football game that happened this weekend was WMU going to Muncie, Indiana, and winning 45-42 against the Cardinals. But beyond that, the Bears, with that second TD pass to from Caleb to DJ, maybe something you could ask DJ about, it looked like the same exact route from the Rams game where Caleb threw it to the left of DJ, so he had no chance of catching it. And this week, it was the precision they got together, it looked like, on it. And he threw it to the inside where DJ had the cornerback blocked off and made a great catch on it and a great pass play. Maybe ask DJ if that was something they had talked about. But that was something that showed us some growth, and that's good to see. And let's hope it continues. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Jeff. That's good stuff. That was a great play. Let's try Brendan. Brendan's on the road. Hey, Brendan.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I don't know if the two guys before me were trying to get a job at the score, but they gave a lot of good points. As a fan, we got this is great. We're managing expectations. We're not appointing anybody a Hall of Fame player. We're back down to got a coach. They're doing a few things right every week. There's still a lot to clean up. And we're going to go to London, and we're going to do the same thing there. We're going to have bad plays. We're going to have good plays. One's got to outweigh the other. And right now it's trending on the good plays outweighing the bad. So we got to keep our focus, like you guys just said, the next game. Stop looking for best in the NFL, Hall of Famer, Pro Bowler at the end of the year, all the nonsense meathead shit we do.
Pardon. Oh, whoa. Got a little casual there.
That's all right. He's having fun, and he just swore.
He thinks he's on Max.
That's all. It means he's comfortable with our conversation.
He's not on Hard Knocks, so.
No. We had to Hard Knocks.
Did Jeff just trash talk me about Ball State losing to Western Michigan?
That was totally trash talk.
That was like, chirp. We love Jeff, but like, did he really just come on here on a Bears Monday?
Yeah. He came on to tell you the biggest game wasn't the ones that we talked about. It was your Cardinals losing at home.
They can't play defense. Struggling.
That's what he said.
I know. I was making sure that.
I forgot to check, David. I didn't even know they lost.
I was not going to mention it.
I know how that will ruin your day, so I apologize for Jeff bringing it up. Jeff, I apologize on your behalf. Jeff's a good caller.
Jeff is a good caller. You're not bringing the trash talk.
All right. You know who else is a good caller?
Yes.
Olin Krutz.
He is.
He's a great football analyst. We'll talk to Olin next. Mully and Haw on the score.